Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mueller, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is my best friend, Steph Walton. We always have fun. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, supported by listeners, and it's woman run. A great big thank you to everybody who supports the show. If you enjoy today's podcast, visit patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all the tiers. I do include a tier with a much shorter intro and no ads. You can hear the free shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they're followed up by What's Up, a show just for patrons where I talk about anything that comes to mind. It's a little more personal, kind of like my online diary. Visit patreon.com/startmeup, and don't forget, you can find Start Me Up on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are found. Now please enjoy my conversation with Steph Walton. Welcome back to the show, Steph.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey. My sister always says that. Oh, hey. I'm tired and I'm totally burned out. And we had a, our Xfinity was down all morning. So if you're a listener to Bob, you're going to hear about it from him too. But, you know, I couldn't prepare anything because we literally just came back on about 10 minutes ago. So we're, once again, it's not hard because you and me, we're just going to have to wing it. I think we can handle it though.
We always do.
And I'm just kind of tired because I was resting my eyes before the show. So I'm kind of in one of those, like, I just want to take a nap right now. So I need to wake the fuck up. So what's going on with you? Why don't you tell us what's going on with you, Steph?
Well, okay. Here's something so exciting.
Yes. Exciting is good.
My daughter, who just finished eighth grade. Uh-huh. Graduated from eighth grade last Wednesday, and she's going on to high school, and so that's, you know, that's a little, there's a lot to unpack with that one, but
yeah,
she had a great year, and, you know, despite having to be masked all year long, she developed some wonderful new relationships, and I think she excelled academically. Like, it was a good year for her.
Wow.
And I'm so happy and I'm so proud. And my son, who is a senior in high school, graduates on Saturday.
Yay!
Yes. Wow. And so, you know, we're like, I had to unpack his, I had to say for the 57th time, hey honey, can you give me the box that your cap and gown are in so I can like hang them so they don't have horrifying creases all over. And then I realized, like, I didn't even know the package we ordered, but he got two tassels. One has like a rhinestone 22 and the other one, you know, just a standard golden horrifying little plastic thing, but it's just so cute. And he's got like this, you know, he's got this, his colors are his gown is red and all of the accoutrements are gold. So he's got this sash, and I know that his sister's going to want to help him bedazzle it. Mm-hmm. And you know how they do the mortarboard, and the kids now, they decorate the top of it. So
yeah.
Sometimes they put their, you know, sometimes they put a pot leaf. Sometimes they put, you know, a poop emoji. Sometimes there might be the school that they're attending.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. It's just, it's exciting. It's fun. You know, he's getting a cute little outfit to go under. It's just, it's fun.
That's,
it's like,
really,
it's happy
cool.
In the midst of all of the shit.
Yeah.
And then while I'm on a roll, I was hanging out in my backyard last night with some friends and supporters of Congresswoman Barbara Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends said, did you hear about the kid at Berkeley High who was trying to recruit kids to bomb and murder children?
Whoa.
At the school.
Wow.
My son is a Berkeley High student.
Yeah. Wow.
And this, I mean, it's like, we can, first of all, it doesn't get any closer to home than that.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, we can't escape. We live in a gun culture.
Yes, we do.
We live in a society that is run by the minority. And you know, I was listening after that document was leaked, that Supreme Court document on Roe was leaked. I was listening to Howard Stern one morning, and he was so furious. And one of the things he said that really stuck with me, and it just puts it in really plain language, it's, you know, 70% of the country never gets what it wants.
Yeah.
And so what on earth kind of country do we live in where the majority of people do not decide what goes on.
I know.
Like, if we live in a voting society, in a democracy, why in the motherfuck?
I wish I could remember it. I wish I could remember, and I can't get to it now because our internet is down once again. But
I got a Google right here, babe. What's up?
There was an article, and I don't remember who wrote it, and I think it was recent, and it was saying that the U.S. is no longer really a democracy. It's more of an oligarchy. I also know that what's his name, Jimmy Carter, warned about this, and I don't remember if Jimmy Carter said we were in an oligarchy. I mean, we have vestiges of the democracy left. Like, for instance, if when we go vote this time, the Senate is not gerrymandered, and so it will literally be, you know, your votes. It depends. It's not like the presidency. There's no electoral college. It's, how do they say it? It's one vote, whatever. What is that phrase that I just can't think of because I just kind of got up from half snooze?
I don't. You're asking the wrong person. I don't remember words anymore.
I know. I'm having this hard time with words. No, but it's something about, it's a one voice, one vote. Something along those lines.
Yeah, there you go. That sounds good to
me. That sounds good. But it's like, okay, in that, we have that right now. Eventually, if we don't get our shit together by November, that will be gone. And we will have absolutely no democracy. But I'm just being you know, the bearer of kind of bad news here and saying that, well, no, we're not even really a democracy anymore. And that's kind of, I mean, we were never a full democracy because of the Electoral College and because of, you know, the couple other things. Like, there's all these, how many people own the cable news? I think it's like 3 or 4 people. There's all these monopolies, and we can't just have a world where all the billionaires own everything and get all the money and get all the breaks on everything, and the rest of us get fucked. But that's where we're heading. And unless we wake up, and I've said this before, and I don't think I said this to you because I don't think you've been on since that announcement of the leak. But, you know, I'm just waiting for them to strike Rodown, because if they got it.
Well, of course they're striking Rodown.
Yeah. Well, I'm just hoping that that's a big fucking wake-up call for this country, because so many of us are just sleeping and we're not aware. And, you know, if they choose to gut it, it's going to be this kind of like half-assed, not half-assed, but it'll be like, it's not going to wake up everybody. And I don't know what extent this is going to wake up the public when they strike it down, because we've had Sandy Hook and we've had all these fucking mass shootings. And we're still being stupid as a collective and voting for Republicans when they're doing nothing about it. And to those who argue, I just have to say, somebody came and argued on my Twitter thread saying, well, Democrats didn't do anything when they had the majority. Okay, well, granted, you know, I think Columbine was like in 1999. But at that point, the mass shootings weren't a regular thing. And then when Obama got in, we had 2 years. That's it. We had 2 years. And prior to Obama, we did have a majority in Congress. But again, that was before those mass shootings. I mean, definitely we had issues with guns, but these mass shootings have really ramped up. And when Obama got in, he had 2 years of a majority. And that was it. Because Democrats who, you know, whatever, they were lazy, whatever, they didn't show up. Some of us did, but the ones who didn't gave us Mitch McConnell. And they gave us this, you know, I know some people get so defensive about this. If you voted, I'm not talking to you. You did what you could. I voted. But Democrats who didn't vote, for whatever reason, whether it was the pet issues or, you know, the fact that we had a black president, and they thought, oh, I think, great, we got a black president, so everything, there's no more racism. You know, whatever it was that they thought, and they didn't show up. So we've got to fucking show up. And we've got so much work to do. If we do manage to preserve what's left of our democracy, it's not over, because it all happens again in 2024 and in 2026. And it's just going to keep going, because until the Republicans realize that we are rejecting their bullshit, they're not going to stop. You know, the only way that they're going to stop is if we just keep them from power. And then they're going to say, okay, we have to change our tactics. We have to start up. You know, I mean, George Bush was appealing to the Latino community, and, you know, that all went away. They don't try to even appeal to Latinos anymore. But it's like,
no, they do, though.
Well, you're right. Actually, they do. They do with certain groups of Latinos, as you and Kirk Acevedo like to say, there's no monolith. They're not a monolith. But
no, they're not.
But there are
There is no, yes, you're 100% right. Yeah. There is not. The Latino community is not a monolith. It's
not
it's
at all.
Incredibly nuanced.
Yeah.
And if, and that's, I think that's part of the, you know, maybe the problem is, in my opinion, the Democratic Party has waited until the last second to engage Latinos and say, hey, get us over the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get us over the finish line. We're going to speak to you like you're one group.
Right.
In reality, it's like I said, incredibly nuanced.
Yeah.
And some of them are deeply religious and you know, anti-choice.
Mm-hmm.
And others are like, no, I'm a poor Latina who has to rely on my freedom of choice so that I can continue to support mm-hmm. the family that I already have. I mean, it's like, it's a whole different deal. The different regions that these people are coming from, the way their language is spoken, you can't speak to Mexican American voters the way you would speak to Puerto Rican American voters or Dominican, you know, or Guatemalan. It's different. And if it's not nuanced, they're missing the mark. And I honestly, I don't mean to go on a freaking tangent here, but you know, you need, this country needs visionary people who can tap into, oh, hey, I recognize that 13% of my state's registered voters are Latino, and we've never done anything mm-hmm. to try to engage them. And they are 85% Mexican American,
mm-hmm.
and they are 10% Honduran, and you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And we're gonna drill down, and we're going to speak to people, you know, to use the term, meet them where they're at.
Yes.
Ask them the questions. What do you want? What do you believe in? Oh, so you're deeply religious, but you believe in bodily autonomy. That's fantastic. This is how the messaging is going to come across to your, you know, it's lazy
mm-hmm.
at best. And one thing the Republicans have done quite well is they go in and they find that talking point that's going to resonate, and they hammer it home, and they don't deviate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and I last night, I had a group of people in my backyard
mm-hmm.
showing proof of vaccination and wearing masks if they so desire to meet with our congressperson, Barbara Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, Democrats, you know, we were joking saying, you know, the sky is blue, and then Democrats will go, well, but really mm-hmm. it's a shade of light blue. You know, you know what? I would consider that, you know, what time of day is it? Well, it's maybe verging on slightly an indigo. I mean, what would you call it? Baby blue in the morning? Like, I, you know, and it's just, what do we all agree on? You know, when I was introducing her last night to the group, it's like, she has been our champion and our fucking North Star on, you know, bodily autonomy,
mm-hmm.
gun control,
mm-hmm.
housing, healthcare, war, no war. Like, what, do we all agree? Mm-hmm. Great. That's our messaging.
Yes.
Because as one of the guests last night said very plainly, democracy is on the ballot in November.
Yes, it is.
So why are we deviating? Yeah, you know what? The sky is fucking blue. It's a shade of blue. Is blue in there? Great. We're on the same page. Let's please move forward. Right?
Yes.
Are guns bad? Do we need gun control? Are kids dying at an astronomical rate? There have mm-hmm. been over 200 mass shootings this year in America.
Then there have been more shootings than days in the year.
Correct.
So... yeah, we
correct.
Need, to, we and, need
and,
it.
Yeah, and my son, you know, we hear. I don't know anybody in Uvalde, but I can only imagine the pain
mm-hmm.
that those families are feeling. When you know it's all around us. You know, mm-hmm. my son held me, and mm-hmm. I was sobbing into his shoulder the night I found out about the massacre in
yeah.
Uvalde.
Yeah.
And he said, Mom, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I wanted to just like say, how do you know?
I know.
It isn't. It continues to happen. He goes, it's not going to happen to me. And he yesterday the kid turned himself in because he was trying to recruit. That's it. So that's where we are. Mm-hmm. It could very well. I drive down the street sometimes and I wonder if I'm going to get shot.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And it's like, okay, I'm white, right? And so you think, okay, well, Kimberly's got the privilege because she's white. But, you know, I live in an area in Maryland where there's quite a few black people. And so it doesn't, and this is not, the way I'm saying this, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this across right, but nobody is safe is my point. Because, you know, if some fucking crazy, evil, cruel person decides I'm going to go into this grocery store or this whatever and shoot up the black people that I see and whoever happens to be, you know, in that store, well, I could be in that store. So it's, I may not get shot because of my skin color, but I might get shot just because I happen to be around people who have a different skin color, and fuck me for that. And so it's like, I think my point here, it's not so much, I don't want to make this about me, but what I want to say is that it doesn't matter what color. Yes, you're more of a target if you have, you know, skin that isn't fucking white, but that doesn't mean that you're safe just because you have white skin. And then add to it being a woman, especially with striking down Roe, with all the, with fucking bounties and things like that. I've said this before, but I want to reiterate it, because while that doesn't affect me specifically either, I'm not going to ever get pregnant. I'm never going to have to worry about having an abortion. I'm never going to have to worry about any of that shit anymore because I'm way past menopause. It's the idea that with white supremacy and with all of this misogyny, that just being a woman puts you at risk because there are people out there who feel emboldened to be cruel and violent. And as a woman, I don't know what that means for me. And at this point, I'm not outside saying, oh my God, am I a target? Am I a target? I'm not walking around in fear, but I'm certainly recognizing that my, you know, my sex, you know, is at risk just because I'm a woman, and there's going to be pissed off fucking, you know, patriarchal, misogynist, violent men out there who decide I don't like you because X, you know, whatever the reason they don't, I look like their ex-wife who fucked them over or whatever the fucking deal is. And so it's terrifying to all of us. So I do not want to diminish what it's like for a person of color. I don't have that experience, but I do have the experience of, you know, I understand what it's like to be a woman. And then you just add color to that and it fucking makes it that much scarier.
Yes.
And it's just, it's so hard. And, you know, I mean, I'm having a hard time. I think I talked about this on my Patrons Only show, which I barely can even remember what I talked about anymore, but because I already recorded it.
because we live in hell. That's why.
But it's like, it's hard for me to process everything that's happening. And anybody who is following my Twitter feed, I mean, you could see I'm still posting about politics and stuff, but I'm kind of getting away from it because I need to not focus on this too much. It's not to say that I'm not paying attention to it. I am, but I can't spend so much of my time focusing on what's going on because it's, I mean, just the other night, it was fucking Ted Cruz was on, it was MSNBC. He was being interviewed by a reporter about gun, you know, stuff with guns. And he said, America is the safest place. And the reporter was like, wait a minute, hold on. And then, of course, Ted Cruz was like, oh, you've got your political agenda. And then and it's like, I swear to God, I wanted to kill him. I can't fucking stand him. And then I just have to do this like little mini rant about this because I posted that he's not the most he is the most unlikable person, period. So everybody I knew this was going to happen. People are like, oh, no, this one's worse. That one's worse. And it's like, I'm not saying who's worse. I'm saying who I used the word unlikable for a reason. mm-hmm. Because yes, Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump and all these people are worse at this point. Now, put him in Mitch McConnell's position, he could be as bad as Mitch McConnell. But it's that he's not likable. I don't think Mitch McConnell is likable. But I swear to God, if I had to choose, if I had to spend time with one or the other, I'd spend time with Mitch McConnell before Ted Cruz because I fucking hate that man is so repulsive in every way. He is at least Mitch McConnell, and I'm not defending him in any way, but I'm just saying that it's like he can kind of behave in a way where he's just, I don't know what the word is. I can't think of the word, but Ted Cruz is always a dick. Mitch McConnell isn't always a dick. He is a dick, but he doesn't always behave like a dick. Fucking Ted Cruz always behaves like a dick. And it's just, he's so annoying. And I just, you know, I start thinking these things, and there are so many people now that I hate how they behave. I hate what they do. I don't want to say I hate them, but you know what I mean. But it's like there's so much hate, and I don't want to be, I just don't want to be thinking about everything that makes me angry all the time. And it's like, Jesus Christ, I know Twitter is certainly really good at, you know, making you freak out and making you angry just because you see, you know, it's not even about what individuals are saying. It's just the news. You know, I mean, you get it immediately on Twitter. And then the other thing, a little tiny pet peeve is like, okay, let's say on a Saturday afternoon, something happens and everybody gets pissed off and they're like, why isn't MSNBC all over this? Usually it's because it's a Saturday afternoon and they're preparing for their Monday show. That's why. So we get things on Twitter right when it happens. It doesn't happen. I mean, unless it's like a fucking mass shooting or unless it's one of these really urgent things, they don't immediately break through everything to report on this, you know, other. There's so much fucking breaking news now. And everything is fucking breaking.
Right.
Oh my God, it's too much. It's too much.
Because, I mean, just think about the world that we live in. Yeah. I honestly.
I'm making noise, sorry.
I don't. No, it's okay. I just.
World that we live in is fucking insane.
It's horrifying.
And, you know, I mean, think about it. 20 years ago, okay, I'm going to be 54 in July. And so when I was 34, never thought anything like this was going to happen. Never thought it. But here we are.
Well, yeah.
Right. I should have, though, because my mother was screaming. My mother was screaming when the Supreme Court decided that George W. Bush was going to be the president. She didn't even think it was going to be this bad. But she was like, oh, my God. She was screaming so much. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. She was always sending emails because at that time, we didn't have the internet like we do now. And I mean, we had it, but it wasn't like it is now. So she communicated with everybody about politics through emails, and she would send articles and this and that. And she had a couple of people who were like, please stop sending me all this political stuff. And now all these people who are like, didn't want to pay attention then are going, I'm so scared now. And it's like, yeah, well, like maybe you should have paid attention.
And she's like, no, I'm sorry. I changed my number. Shut up. No, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's really brutal and it's really hard. So that's why I just, it's like, I only want to talk about fun things. Oh, wait a minute. I got it. Oh, my God. So there's a woman. Did you see the Wonder Woman situation happening on Twitter?
Okay,
you've been busy doing real things. Okay, well, first of all, Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, she posted something for why is my brain failing? It's month LGBTQ. I can't even say it. My brain
LGBTQ.
Yes, and then I think there's more.
It's Pride Month.
It's Pride Month. Thank you, Pride. So it's Pride Month. That's what I was trying to remember. And so she posted, you know, she said something about Pride Month, and then she posted a picture of Wonder Woman in the background. It was like a big rainbow. So Amber Hefner was very upset with this. And she says, why did you use Wonder Woman to promote gays, lesbians, and bisexuals as you so said Wonder Woman is? My whole that doesn't make sense. My whole life, you were my hero. What a disappointment you are. Just like they said, Linda, when you get to meet your hero, they're nothing what you thought they were. Do I sell all my Wonder Woman things? My whole life's collection? I mean, if she's bisexual and I don't believe in that, how can you be my superhero? Can you tell me that, real Linda Carter? Can you? 45 years, I have loved Wonder Woman. Blah, 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 blah. Then she says, thanks a lot. And she spells a lot, one word. Thanks a lot for destroying my superhero. I mean, she is just, and so Linda Carter tweeted out something. I don't have.
Who is that person?
I don't know. She's just some fucking weirdo. But Linda Carter tweeted, she goes, I didn't write Wonder Woman, but if you want to argue that she is not, that she is somehow not a queer or trans icon. You're not paying attention. Every time someone comes up to me and says Wonder Woman helped them while they were closeted, it reminds me how special the role is. Yeah, where did Wonder Woman come from? I don't know if it was a planet. I think it was a planet. All women.
Yeah.
All women. And somebody even put in the comments, just like with Xena Warrior Princess, there were lesbian scenes in that. Maybe not lesbian scenes, but lesbian tendency scenes or something. I think they were like, I never watched that show, but I think there was like they were taking a bath together. They were being kind of romantic or something. So it's like, fuck you, Amber. Fuck you and your bigoted attitude.
Amber, wake up, dude. Come on.
But she's a religious person who is,
of course,
you know, and it's like some people are religious and not like that. So I don't want to put that on all religious people, but she's one of those religious people that is so close-minded and, you know, doesn't think about what Jesus would do. It's like fucking Amber.
That's right.
So stupid. Oh my God. Okay.
Themyscira.
Say that again.
The name of the island.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. It's that lesbian. It's a lesbian island where all the ladies need no men.
Yeah.
All right.
Until they meet Chris Pine. What's that dude's name?
I don't know. Who?
Anyway.
Oh, that's right.
The dude.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The dude. Yeah. All right. So we got to do a quick commercial break and we will be back after this message. Oh, hey, it's Kimberly, the host of the podcast you're listening to right now. Are you my patron on Patreon? If not, it's really easy to sign up. Just go to patreon.com/startmeup. Check out all the tiers. I do a patrons-only show after every free show, and I talk about whatever. It can get crazy in there. So again, just go to patreon.com/startmeup. Check out the tiers and become my patron today. Thank you. All right, we are back. So, what are you going to do this weekend?
Graduation on Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Graduation. That's so
big
now,
boy.
Are you going to have a party?
And then Sunday brunch. Yeah, we're having a party on Sunday because we were going to do a dinner here, you know, for friends and family who could attend and mm-hmm. on Saturday night. And he goes, Mom, I think he felt bad. He's mm-hmm. I really want to go out with my friends on Saturday night. I'm like, that's okay. Of course, I didn't know there was anything.
Right.
He doesn't. He's not. He's not a big details mm-hmm. Communicator. Mm-hmm. But so Sunday we're gonna do brunch, and some of his best friends are boys that he met when he was in preschool.
Wow, that's so
cool.
And
they've gone preschool through 12th grade together, and. The boys, so some of those boys and their families are coming for the brunch, which, you know, my husband and I will cook a bunch of stuff. And then the following weekend, we are going to Disneyland with those,
oh, wow.
some of those boys and their parents.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. I can't wait.
Well,
love
Disneyland. I say that, but I'm not a big fan of Disneyland.
Oh, it's a dream. My husband can't stand it. I freaking
I know it's
love
like
it.
It's like why doesn't your husband like it?
I just think he thinks it's disgusting. I mean, you know, he doesn't like waiting in the lines. He doesn't
right.
like the crowds. He's not necessarily blown away by the rides. Like I love walking up Main Street. And like beelining to whatever ride and like having a plan and figuring it all out and like opening up my Disney app and, you know, like going into Star Wars land. I want to get on the Dumbo ride. Like I want it all. I don't tire of it ever.
Yeah. My girlfriend was the same. Yeah. The only thing I can say about it is my mom always felt, I think it's funny she says this, and the Republicans are totally going after Disney now, but my mom always felt that there was some kind of, I don't remember the word, but she didn't like Disney. There's something about Disney she doesn't like. And she thinks they're not fascist or anything like that, but just, I don't know, there was something having to do with, like, she doesn't completely trust them. Anyway, I grew up in Southern California, and we had, like, Magic Mountain, but my theme park was, Knott's Berry Farm. because when we first moved there, my mother didn't know anybody. Oh, you know, we didn't have a family. And Knott's Berry Farm is very old-fashioned. It's really fucking cool because you see people walking around the park and they're wearing, like, old-timey clothes. They have, like, a train that runs through the park and there's bandits that rob the train. And you can go into little saloon areas. And, of course, then there's just normal, typical ride stuff and typical mm-hmm. theme park stuff. But this is, like, literally a theme. I mean, well, they're all theme parks. But, I mean, it's, like, the theme of the Old West. And so when we would go there for Thanksgiving, it was so much fun. My mom and I would do it. And we carried that tradition through to my early 20s. And 1 year, we decided we were going to go to Disneyland. And the funny thing is like, you know, it's Thanksgiving. So we didn't ever really see a crowd. All through the years, there would be more and more people. Like when we first started going in the, it's like 77, 78, 79. When we were going there then, there was almost like nobody there. And mm-hmm. my mom would walk around and she would see all the single parents with their kids. That's what she was, the single parent with the kid. And then through the years, it became more popular to go to those theme parks for Thanksgiving and stuff. So we decided 1 year we were going to mix it up and go to Disneyland. And it was awful because it was really crowded. And I think we only got on like two or three rides because the lines were so long. And we were so pissed. And then we went back to Disneyland. I mean, we went to Knott's Berry Farm for dinner. And it was so funny because there were people who were eating next to us. And we just, I don't know, somehow we got to talking. And we're like, yeah, we made this stupid decision to go to Disneyland and we hated it. And now we're back here and we love it. And then we're like, yeah, we did that 1 year and we're never doing it again. It was so funny. But the Knott's Berry Farm Thanksgiving situation was always fun. But yeah, I never care. I think the reason is because of the long lines. It was like so long. I hated waiting in line.
I've never been to, you know, a theme park or anything on a holiday like that. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, we lived for about almost 4 years in Long Beach. And mm-hmm. so we were 15 minutes from Knott's Berry Farm. We were mm-hmm. 15 minutes from Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And it was just, okay, where do we want to go today? Remember the log ride at Knott's?
Yes, I do.
In Knott's. Okay, we just shortened it to Knott's. We're going to Knott's today, right? And it was the best. Mm-hmm. I think there was like a fried chicken restaurant at Knott's.
Yes.
The people walking around in the old timey shit. The mm-hmm. log ride was insane. Mm-hmm. They had more treacherous sort of roller coasters at Knott's, if I'm not, And then, and I haven't been to Knott's Berry Farm since probably the 70s.
Well, I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again, and my mom can totally fucking back me up. It started from day one. So we go to Knott's Berry Farm on Thanksgiving, and I don't know what year it was. So let's just say I'm 10, right? And mm-hmm. we get on the train, and the bandits, they fucking zero in on me. I don't know why. And I think, I mean, I'm 10, so I'm just this dorky kid with glasses. And I knew, it's like I didn't want them to bother me. I just didn't want them to call attention to me. And it was like I was a magnet and I just drew them to me. They would stop mm-hmm. and they would fucking harass. I mean, it was all fun, but it was like they would harass. And every single year, every year. And it got to the point where my mom and I would be walking through the park and we'd see the bandits and the bandits would see me and we would, and they took notice, especially when I got older because I'm a 6 foot blonde. And it was like they would take notice of my mom when she's like, okay, they saw you. And I'm like, fuck. And it wouldn't matter. Every time they would always come up to me. It was like, and we would just laugh every time it happened. But that was such a fun memory because after dinner, we would go in, they had all the stores and then, you know, they'd have all the Christmas shit up and you could get personalized ornaments. And that's what I would always get for my family when I would go back east to visit. So it was just, Knott's Berry Farm was so fun. And, you know, it's really funny because I always missed, like I felt a little sorry. I mean, I loved going to Knott's Berry Farm, but I always felt a little sorry for myself because I thought, oh, you know, we don't have a big family. Everybody's family. And now that we live near family, the holidays are so stressful because there's all these different fucking parents and everything has to be worked out. And it's like, oh my God, can we just go back to Knott's Berry Farm? I just want to go with my mom. But
yes.
And Bob and I don't even spend Thanksgiving together because I go with my dad And my mom comes over to my dad's, and then he goes over to his dad's, and then the next day, either he just goes to his mom's or we both do. So it's like, it's this whole big fucking ordeal. Gone are the days where everything was just simple and easy, because now it's all, you know, it's like a big family affair. But I'm happy to have my family, so I'm not complaining. It's just like the side of me that just doesn't want to be bothered, which the older I get, the less I want to be bothered about anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I hear you. I feel it.
And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but my niece has COVID now.
The baby?
Yeah, she's going to be 8. So far, so good. I think she's only got, like, sniffles. The last I heard, you know, and then my father had to have, okay, I think the other day I did a patrons-only show just for my patrons, and I think I said my dad had an angioplasty. No, he had an angiogram. I just, you know, my mind died. So I said angioplasty. No, he had an angiogram. And he was actually, because he had a heart attack last year in May, and then he had another fucking heart attack on April 30th. But he has a defibrillator, and that saved him. So, you know, it makes me worried, because he was with my niece on Saturday. And I guess on Sunday, her mother got the notice that 19 kids from their school got COVID, so they tested her and she had it. So she had it while she was with my dad and stepmom. And then my dad had to go have an angiogram. I think it was on Wednesday. So he's fine. And I talked to him. I've talked to him every day this week except for today. And he's fine. And the angiogram actually was no big deal. But he was, I think, expecting something worse, but it turned out to be no big deal. But it's like, I guess we're out of the woods now. If he was around her on Saturday, and so is my stepmom, and I haven't heard anything about them having COVID, so I think we're out of the woods for them getting it. But yeah, evidently my niece was, I think it was like on Monday or Tuesday, she was running around outside playing. She just had a runny nose. So hopefully it won't be too bad for her. But I do know that Fauci is telling everybody, if you get COVID, go get Paxlovid, because evidently that's like the thing. It's an antiviral, and it's supposed to work. It's supposed to cut it. But the sooner you take it, the better. And I'm just going to throw this out there one more time, because I have been promoting this intermittently, and I don't always do it, but and garlic, odorless garlic. You can get odorless garlic, and it's antiviral. And it has helped me in the past many, 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 many times avoid getting sick when people around me are sick. I don't know if it has any effect on COVID at all, but why the fuck not? It doesn't hurt you. And so, you know, if you know you're going to be around people and it's going to be, you know, I just say take a bunch of that. Because I think it's called Nature's Made. The one I get, it's in a green bottle and it's gel caps. And you could literally take it on an empty stomach and have absolutely no aftertaste. So
recommend. Tell me the name of Paxlovid, the Fauci thing.
Paxlovid. Yeah, he's recommending that if anybody gets it, that they just fucking run to the doctor and take it as soon as you get it. It's kind of like the idea of coldies. When you get a cold, the sooner you take it, the more chances you have of cutting that cold down to either nothing or at least in half. So Paxlovid is the sooner you get it, the better.
Okay, because my brother just, we were talking this morning on the phone, and he tested positive while we were on the phone.
Oh, really? Wow.
And his wife has had it for 4 days now, and she came downstairs in a nightgown, and they both screamed, "Take off your mask!" And then they were, like, hugging and stuff.
So, now, is he the one who lives next door to your mom?
Across the street, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. So, how's your mom doing?
She doesn't have it.
That's good.
Yeah, she is, you know, she's super duper cautious. She's got another one more chemo treatment that's coming up in, I think, on the 16th. And then she's done with this phase, and then we'll see what happens and what the next course of treatment is for her moving forward. But she's, you know, deeply concerned about getting COVID because mm-hmm. of her mm-hmm. compromised immune system. And so, you know, she's holding... She's keeping them at a distance, like literally.
Right.
I think my brother said he went over to get something from her yesterday. Mark, you know, was probably highly contagious yesterday if he tested positive this morning. And he said she threw something, like opened her front door, just like, boom, hurled something at him, like, do not come near me.
Wow. How is she feeling?
you know, she has cancer.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just, I try and I don't, I can't go see her. I was supposed to go see her last week and she told me don't come because she didn't want me getting on a plane. And because I had been, you know, we had an event here at our house, an event, a gathering at our house in the yard, but, and everybody was vaxxed, but she's like, I, honey, no.
Yeah.
So that sort of sucks.
Yeah.
But I am dry. She didn't want me to go in an airport and I had, you know, I was coming for 48 hours and she didn't want me to be in an airport. And so we're going up to visit her the last week of June and we're all driving up. So we're going to drive up.
Wow.
We'll isolate and test and yeah. That's how we're going to do it.
This is just such a fucking I'm so tired of this. You know, there are so many things that I just want to do and I won't do them. On Saturday night, Bob and I usually order from we get it from, you know, Grubhub. But we order Mexican food from this particular restaurant. And it was funny because I don't know what was going on, but I went to order it and the Grubhub said that it wasn't going to be available till the following morning. And I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" So long story short, I don't know why, but Grubhub had the restaurant closed. So I called the restaurant and they were open. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to place an order, which I placed an order. And then I went to go pick it up. Oh, my God. The amount of people that were in this restaurant, nobody was wearing a mask, of course, because it's a restaurant. And literally just packed door to door. And it was so loud because there were so many people. So like all the people are yelling at each other just to have dinner. So it's like, all I saw were little COVID things flying around the restaurant. And I just like, geez. No, I mean, and the thing is I understand we have to live. We've been vaccinated, hopefully, and we have to live. But it's like, I thought, well, if I'm going to get fucking COVID, this is where I'm going to get it. I had a mask on, but I went into the restaurant up to, you know, where the hostess counter is. And I paid her and everything. And then I stood by the door that was open. Just because I thought, God, I mean, I just don't understand how people are treating this like it's no. Every single day I check in my county and the numbers are going up.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess people everywhere. Just don't care. I guess they're like,
well,
fine.
It's because people aren't wearing their masks and they're living. And, you know, I got to be, you know, I'm like, I'm still in the 90-day window, but I don't know if that makes me safe from getting it again. Like, right. I don't know. Shoot.
Yeah.
Criminy sakes alive.
I know. That's the thing is you don't know how long you are protected. So it's just, it's a crapshoot. And I feel like at least there's Paxlovid. And I don't know if taking Paxlovid would have any effect on the long COVID situation. I don't know. But I know that I'll run to the doctor and I'll get Paxlovid if I get it, but I hope I don't get it. And if
I wish I would have known about Paxlovid when I had it.
Yeah, I know.
Now suddenly I'm feeling like sick and listless just after starting discussing this.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know. Did I tell you about my nasal thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't have a nasal polyp, but I started getting that fucking smell back again. And
oh, shit.
I told you the other day when we were talking on the phone, not on the podcast, I was talking about DIM and I don't blame it on DIM, but what I blame it on is I shouldn't take DIM because it fucks with me. It doesn't have the same effect on everybody else, but I think what it does with me, I get too thrown off with an imbalance and I'm almost positive that's what's happening. I'm almost positive that I have an imbalance of hormones, but I'm looking at it this way because for those of you who do not know, I have gone off of estrogen. I've been on estrogen for 6 years and it's just kept me fat. And it's, and you know, some might argue that that's not the case, but as soon as I started taking it, I didn't change a goddamn thing. I exercised the same way. I ate the same way. And I just gained a bunch of weight. I gained about 30 pounds. So now, you know, I've been on all the HRT, the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Right now, basically the only thing I'm taking is testosterone and that kind of helps with energy. But I stopped taking the estrogen. And so like some people, they'll have hot flashes and they'll start taking the hormone replacement therapy to cure your hot flashes or whatever. And then when you go off, it starts up again. That's what's happening with me. I'm getting warm flashes, and I'm getting I'm feeling a little off. That's not terrible. I can still do everything I do. It's not getting in the way of anything, but I can tell that I'm not like up. Something's going on, and it's because my body's adjusting. But I gotta share this just randomly. It was funny. I got a call from Greg Oliar, and he wants me to do his podcast on camera on Friday. So I hate doing on-camera shows, but I said, fine, because it's Greg, and he's always said yes to me, and I absolutely love him. So then I got, I noticed after I said yes, right in the danger zone on my face, in the hormone zone, I start to get a zit. And I'm like, fuck! And it was like one of those kind of zits where it starts off as like a little puffy red mark, and it's not like you can mess with it. It's so deep down, you just get a little puffy. And then eventually what happens is it comes up to the surface, and if you do mess with it, it's like a volcano, and it's horrible, and makeup on it makes it even worse. So I'm like, no. And so I forgot that Bob had recommended one time, I think like one time he got a zit, and so he had this idea to put use an Advil gel cap and put that stuff that's in the gel cap on it. And it totally, it's the same idea of you got to get it right away. And so I used 2 gel caps throughout the course of the day. And by the end of the day, it was gone. So if you ever have to get rid, it doesn't work if it's pretty much coming up to the top. It won't work. But if it's right in the beginning, those fucking gel caps will kill a zit in the making. So I'm so grateful because I'm going to be on Greg Oliar's show. And I was on Stephanie Miller's show yesterday on camera, of course. So.
Nice. Yeah, you don't want a big pustule on your face for that.
No. especially one that's like, it's sometimes because I can't not fuck with it. I can't see a zit on my face and not fuck with it. So I'm going to fuck with it, and then it bleeds, and then it scabs, and then all the skin peels off, and this raw skin, and you can't put makeup on raw skin. It's so awful. I hate it.
I know. And I mean, please, as we get older, it's like, can't we just, could we at least, if we're going to have the goatees,
yeah,
we might as well be able to trade them in for the zits. Like, if you're going to give me the goatee, can I at least say we're done with the zits?
Yeah, and there's so many other things. It's like if I have to have hot flat, I mean, I'm going to be 54. My mom is in her 70s and still occasionally, it's very rare, but occasionally she gets a zit. It's like, I swear to God, if I'm in my 70s and I get a zit, I'm going to be like pounding some shit.
Well, I still get hot flashes. Mine kind of ramped up again.
Okay, so I have something to recommend. If you get hot flashes, and I just ordered them again, they are pellets. They're homeopathic pellets that you put like, I don't know, 7 or 8 under your tongue. They're just real tiny. And it's I'm going to spell it out. And it's L-A-C-H-E-S-I-S. I don't even know how to say it. Lachesis Mutus.
Okay.
Mutus. M-U-T-U-S. And so they come in 200 counts. You can get them. You can go and just enter them on the computer, enter them on Amazon. I just had them shipped to my house. And what they do is when you, and I've used these before, when I was having hot flashes like crazy, I fucking use these all the time. They don't prevent you from having one, but when you have one, take it, and it goes away so much faster. It's so much faster. So it's like, I bought some because I'm starting to experience that fun, you know, hot flash thing again. So I've just got them, and they do really help. They're a big deal. But the other thing that also helps is, I think it's 300 milligrams of grapeseed extract. And there was a study, I think it was in, I don't know if it was Japan, or I can't remember where, but it was a study, there was a couple of studies, and it was women who were having hot flashes, and when they took 300 milligrams, I think it's milligrams, of grapeseed extract, it really made a difference. And so I've been taking it religiously now for at least a year, and it really does help. So for all of those people out there experiencing it, those are my recommendations.
Yes, excellent.
And then also, did I tell you that here's the deal. I recorded 2 patrons-only shows today that I hated, and then I got rid of them, and then I recorded another one, and now I don't remember what I said to you and what I said on that show, so pardon me if I'm repeating myself, but did I tell you that I fucking hit my toe again?
No.
So on the day before Thanksgiving, I hit my toe so bad I thought I broke it, but I didn't. Then I hit it again in December, the same fucking toe, and now last night I hit the other toe, the left foot, the pinky toe, and now my foot's all bruised.
You might have broken it if it's all bruised.
I know. Well, I broke it last, or I might have, well, I don't know that if I think I might have sprained it, because when I touch it and when I wiggle it, it feels fine. And when I actually did break a toe back in 2014, I couldn't even touch it. It fucking hurt so much.
That's
so awful. I don't know, but it's like, oh my God, so much fun. So much fun. And on top of everything, it's like really hot here. I think we're supposed to cool down tomorrow, but it's been miserable. How's the weather where you are?
It's kind of hazy today. It's not really warm. Yesterday was warm, and I don't even know what temperature it is. It is currently 62.
Oh.
I like 75.
Really?
You know? I like 82. To be honest,
I like 50.
I like 82 in a pool and a virgin pina colada. That's what I really like. I like 82 in a blow up raft and yeah. Nobody around me. I like 82.
Do you make virgin pina coladas?
No, but if I'm on vacation, that would be my indicator that perhaps I'm on vacation, which I want,
yeah.
I want
yeah,
that,
I don't, you know, but what? I just want to go to Southern California. Sometimes Bob's like, yeah, one day, you know, I want to go to Hawaii with you. And I just don't want to go to Hawaii right now because I just don't want to put a bathing suit on. No fucking way. But maybe if I feel a little bit more confident about my body, but I still don't want to lay out in the sun either. Because it's like,
oh, I do.
Yeah, I don't want to get the fucking skin cancer. So I don't want to. Plus, I also don't want to get, because I'm very white, I don't want to get the blotchy skin. You know, so I try to avoid this.
Yeah, I want that. I don't want the skin cancer. I don't mind. I want brown legs and arms and feet, mm-hmm. and it's one of the reasons why I love exercising outside, because I like the watch tan, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just like being outdoors. That's what I really love.
Yeah.
And I also like a little bit of free time, which doesn't seem to happen all that much.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was thinking, you know, like, oh, a raft and a pool, and, or sitting on the beach and just getting up and diving into a calm little ocean.
Yeah.
But, you know, I long for that, but I don't see that happening. Instead, I'm going to Disneyland for 48
Well, that's
hours.
Good, and you're really excited, yeah. So that's good.
But you want to know what I did, because I'm psycho like this? So first of all, I love the graphic t-shirts that make a statement, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just love them. I buy them up. It's my favorite thing. And, you know, I like to wear them too, you know, when I'm out exercising and stuff. And I had one man tell me I wasn't sending a good message to the children because I was wearing my Trump is a racist t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not sending a good message
no,
to
really.
The children. Dude, mm-hmm. check yourself before you wreck yourself, honestly. And you live in Oakland? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm gearing up. So I got my son and I matching American flags with a QR code. It's David Hogg and the March for Our Lives kids put them out. And there's a QR code where like the stars would be. And it's a, you know, gun control message. Sorry, Siri's chiming in on me. Anyway, and when you look at it, if you take a picture of the QR code, it sets you up to register to vote.
Wow.
And it's this really cool thing. And I showed it to my son and I go, we can wear these because like anybody in the know is going to say, oh, these people are for gun control. And he's like, okay, yeah, get that. Then I went down a rabbit hole and I just saw that my Etsy order that says "fuck the NRA" t-shirt was just sent, and so I'm gonna wear that.
Wow, that's awesome.
I mean, I might wear that out at night. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when I'm in the park, I'm gonna wear the Pro Row 1973. Right. Yes. What's up? And I'm just like I feel like I have to. I feel like that's where we are. Now, I'm not going to wear my Dr. Leia Torres fuck with impunity t-shirt although that did arrive.
I love her.
And I love her too.
Yeah, she's awesome.
But, you know, I kind of feel like I don't know. As I said to the crowd last night, it's like it's incumbent upon us to spread the word. Mm-hmm. Here's what we believe. Here's the kind of world and the democracy that we believe is worth fighting for. And that's why I support this, that, and the other, and this candidate and this movement and this, you know, this cause and this policy change or whatever it happens to be. So I just, and I'm also kind of looking for a fight a little bit. I mean, I'm going to be real honest about that.
See, that's where I told my mom, you need to take your fucking bumper stickers off your car because of where she lives. It's not too bad, but she's like, I've seen some of those pickup trucks with the eagle and the Trump, everything all over it. And,
right.
You know, I've seen some of those guys, and this is rural Maryland. This is like, they don't fuck around out here. The white supremacy is really nasty. So I just said, you know, you're a single woman and you're 75 mm-hmm. years old. I normally she wouldn't listen to me. Normally she would be like, oh, my God, I'm going to do what I want. But she did take them off because I said, you know, you could be a target. You're making right. yourself. And so I feel that way about you, but I'm not going to tell you not to do it because, first of all, you're not 75
years old. Nobody's
going to
beat my ass in Disneyland.
I know. But see, I'm like the protective, don't start trouble. but we do need to have good trouble. So we do.
So I'm not going to wear the cussy ones. Because you know, there are little kids. There are children there. And right. stuff, and I want to be respectful of that for sure.
Yeah.
But I am going to wear my QR code and I'm going to wear my Pro Row. There's nothing, there ain't nothing about that. I got one for my daughter too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know? There you go. You know what? I want to bring up one thing before we go, because I know we're coming to the end. Tulsa gunman targeted doctor he blamed for pain after surgery. And so somebody I want to find it now. I did retweet this woman and already I'm getting blowback. I'm not getting blowback. She's getting blowback. But it's the idea that pain, okay, the shooter in Tulsa had been a patient in the clinic earlier that day. He had had back surgery but was in pain. He couldn't get help. It was easier for him to get a gun than it was to get proper health care. This sums up everything wrong in our country. So then this other woman says it doesn't make it okay, but serious untreated pain can drive someone more than a little out of their right mind. As a country, we're failing when we make guns easier to get the medical care. So this guy said, wait, you're saying that pain caused him to do this. And I found an article and I posted it and I said, it's not an excuse, but yes, when you're in pain, it can make you do and to do things that you wouldn't normally do, to think things you wouldn't normally think. It's not an excuse. This is not an excuse, but I think it's a valid point because two points that I'll make are one, when my mother, you know, she was in severe pain with her hips. For the first hip she had done, it had collapsed. And then I believe the second hip, it also collapsed and she was alone and she was having horrible thoughts. She wanted to die. I know that just from my fucking, this wasn't even pain. It was the olfactory hallucination was happening and I was smelling smoke and rotting meat at the same time. It does this thing where it gives me a headache, but it's not a normal headache. It's weird and it's very uncomfortable. And I also feel as if I'm in a room with rotting meat and smoke because my eyes get watery and I kind of get like a, my throat. It's like it reacts as if I'm actually in a room with this shit. And then what it does is it does something to me mentally. And the last time that it happened really bad, I had this thought, like, I don't know when this happened. It was sometime in April. But I literally was thinking, okay, well, if Vladimir Putin is going to send a nuclear weapon our way to like DC, I'm going to drive to it because I can't take this. Those are the things that I was thinking. I don't normally think like that. But because I was experiencing, it wasn't even pain. I was very uncomfortable. And so I didn't have suicidal thoughts. I wasn't planning on killing myself, but the thoughts that I had were fucking dark. And my mother had really dark thoughts. And so I don't want to say that a gunman can sit there and say, oh, I have pain, so I'm going to go shoot everybody up. I'm not saying that's what happened. But I do agree with the idea, because somebody pointed out this guy was black, and doctors have a tendency to dismiss women, and they dismiss black people. And so if you have been dismissed, if you're in pain, yes, it can make you, it can either, you know, in some people it might cause anger. In some people it might cause a suicidal feeling or depression. So I don't think we should completely discount it. I don't think we should only say, oh, he was in pain, so he shot up a bunch of people. I don't know what his motive was. But even if his motive and everything was completely different than that, if it was something, if it was just based on, I don't know what, because he was black, so I don't know exactly what his motive was. But I just think that we need to really understand where we're failing as a country. And when it comes to pain, and when it comes to listening to other people than, you know, it's white men, they get listened to. But if you're a woman, if you're a person of color, you're not always listened to. And that, there are fucking articles and proof about it. So I'm not just making this shit up. I'm not pulling it out of my ass. So I just want to throw that out there, because I think it's a valid point. I think that it's a valid point whether or not that was his motive. Because, yeah, we have so much shit to work on when it comes to listening to people. And you know, even with women's hormones, they study men. And then they just apply it. It's like, dude, we can grow babies in us. It's not the same.
Stupid shit.
I know.
Oh my God.
Oh,
honestly.
I'm just telling you, I am so not in the mood. I'm just not in the mood.
It's been a real rough road.
It's been a rough road since Trump came down that escalator. It just hasn't stopped since then. So anyway, I know that you've got stuff to do and I've got stuff to do, and it was fun talking to you. And for whoever's listening, thank you for listening, because we didn't really talk about politics. We kind of did, but we didn't.
We did. We always do. To us, it's like, because the fury just goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I mean, listen, the political landscape is you know, inextricably linked to the way we feel and all the shit that's going on.
Yeah.
You know,
it is. And anyway, it colors everything, but you know, sometimes we just have to take a break from it. So, all right, let's wrap this gig up.
Let's wrap it. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Tell everybody where to find you.
At Steph for Oakland, STEPHFOR Oakland. I would love to see you. I'm coming up for some Twitter air.
Okay.
Boy, is that where I like to be. Oh my God, what's wrong with me?
Well, also, I'm author Kimberly, KimberLey. Don't forget the extra E. My books are on Amazon. And thank you, Stephanie. I love talking to you. I love you. Have fun at Disneyland. Give your son a big congratulatory hug. And, you know, I'll talk to you when I talk to you.
Thank you, my dear.
All right, you take
care.
Thank
you for having me. Yes, you too.
Always. All right, bye-bye.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.